जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जनवल्लभ जय गिरिवरधारी जय गिरिवरधारी। जय गोपी जनवल्लभ जय गिरिवरधारी जय गिरिवरधारी। यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदा नंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरे वनचारी यमुना तीरे वनचारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी। जय गोपी जनवल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जनवल्लभ जय गिरिवर धारी। जय यशोदा नंदन जय ब्रज जनरंजन जय यशोदा नंदन जय ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरे वनचारी यमुना तीरे वनचारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी। जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी। Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. No, I've got it. That's fine. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Gauranitai, 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 Jaya Gauranitai. Jaya Jagannathai, Jagannathai, Baladevai Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Radha Vallabha, Radha Vallabha Shri Radhe. Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada.
ओम विष्णु पाद परमहंस से परिचार्य अष्टोतार रीज डिवाइन ग्रेस ऐसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की ऑल ग्लोरी टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री गुरु एंड गुरु ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Mudirayet Nasta Praishva Badreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavate Uttamas Loke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtiki Om Agnanati Mirandashya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tashmaya Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Ragunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarvyasha Kripa Sindhu Bhayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gora Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Thank you Prabhu Okay, now it makes sense. Sarvesham api bhutanam Hari ratmeshwara priya Bhuter mahadbihi swakrte Kritahanam jiva samagnitaha Sarvesham api bhutanam Hari ratmeshwara priya Bhuter mahadbihi swakrte Kritahanam jiva samagnitaha Sarvesham api bhutanam Hari ratmeshwara priya Bhuter mahadbihi swapkrite Kritanam jiva samagnitaha Sarvesham api bhutanam Hari rashmashra priya Bhuter mahadbihi swapkrite Kritanam jiva samagnitaha Sarvesham api bhutanam Hari ratmeshwara kriya priya Bhuter mahadbihi swakrte Skritanam jivasmagnataha Matajis Sarvesham api bhutanam Hari ratmeshwara priya Bhuter mahadbihi swakrite Kritanam jiva samagnataha Sarvesham api bhutanam Sariratmeshwara priya Bhuter mahadbihi swakrite Kritanam jiva samagnataha Sarvesham api bhutanam Hariratmeshwara priya Utirmahabhi Svakrite Kritnam Svasmaknita Sarvesham Api Bhutanam Hari Ratmeshwara Priya Bhutir Mahadbihi Svakrite Kritanam Jiva Samagnataha Sarvesham of all Api certainly Bhutanam living entities Hari the Lord who mitigates all the miseries of the living entity Atma the original source of life Ishvara, the complete controller. Priya, the dear. Bhute, by the separated energies. The five material elements. Mahadbhi, emanating from the total material energy. The Mahatattva. Svakrite, which are manifested by himself. Kritanam, created. Jiva Samagnata, who is also known as the living entity, since the living entities are expansions of his marginal energy. Translation: The Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari is the soul and the supersoul of all living entities. Every living entity is a manifestation of his energy in terms of the living soul and the material body. Therefore, the Lord is the most dear and He is the supreme controller. Please repeat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, is the soul and the supersoul of all living entities. Every living entity is a manifestation of His energy. In terms of the living soul and the material body. Therefore, the Lord is the most dear and He is the supreme controller. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is manifested by His different energies, the material energy, the spiritual energy, and the marginal energy. He is the original source of all living entities in the material world, and He is situated in everyone's heart as the Supersoul. Although the living entity is the cause of His various types of bodies, the body is given by material nature according to the order of the Lord. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridayesha Arjun Tishtati Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani Yantra Rudhani Mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are seated as on a machine made of the material energy. The body is just like a machine, a car, in which the living entity is given a chance to sit and move according to his desire. The Lord is the original cause of the material body and the soul, which is expanded by his marginal energy. The Supreme Lord is the dearmost object of all living entities. Prahlad Maharaj therefore advised his class friends, the sons of the demons, to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead again. So, I'll begin with a question. Who is speaking this? Prahlad Maharaj is speaking to? Okay. And who is narrating this pastime? Narad Muni. Narad Muni is speaking to? Yudhishthir Maharaj. And who is narrating the pastime of Narad Muni and Yudhishthir Maharaj? Sukhdev Goswami. To? Parikshit Maharaj. So, as we know, these are the sequence of speakers and listeners who are asking the questions and answering them. So, let's understand this verse here, it is mentioned that the Lord is Harir Atmeshwara Priya. He's the original Atma, means he's the original source of life. Ishwara is a complete controller, and Priya, he is dear to everyone. And this is the same, very similar verse was mentioned just right at the beginning of this canto. 7.1. It was mentioned, the first verse of this canto, Sama Priya Suhrida Brahman Bhutanam Bhagavan Swayam Indrayaste Katham Daityam Abhidhyo Vishama Yatha. So, at the end of last canto, it was mentioned how the Lord destroys, kills the two sons of Diti. And at which Parikshit Maharaj is asking this question. Parikshit Maharaj is asking, how come the Lord who is Sama, Priya and Surhida, as it is mentioned here, he is Priya. So how come the Lord who is Sama, Sama means who is equal, who is Surhida or Priya, who is dear to everyone or everyone is dear to him, and who is Surhida, he is a friend of all. How come such a person be partial? Why did he took the side of the demigods and kill the demons? And this is another, this is also the question, or this is also one of the things Hiranyakashipu did not like. When Hiranyaksha was killed, Hiranyakashipu says, this person who is supposed to be impartial has taken the side of demigods and has become our enemy. So I will kill him and I'll become the Lord. So this was Hiranyakashipu. And we all have got a little bit of Hiranyakashipu in our heart. So this is our position of Hiranyakashipu, where Hiranyakashipu is saying, this is, he is impartial. And same question is asked by Parikshit Maharaj, that how come Lord is supposed to be Sama, Priya and Suhrid, but he is taking side of the demons. So he should be impartial. At which Sukhdeva Goswami is explaining the pastime of Narad Muni and Yudhishthira Maharaj. In the Ratsuya Yajna, Yudhishthira Maharaj saw that Shishupal was killed and the soul of Shishupal entered into the body of Krishna. At which Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking the same question. Generally, in the pastime of Vena, who was a demoniac personality, he was killed and he had a miserable life. He went to hell. But here we see Shishupal, who was directly offending the Lord, he got the topmost position of merging into the body of the Lord. Swayujya Mukti. He got liberation. How is this possible, that person who is so inimical towards the Lord gets the position, gets liberation from this material world? At which Narad Muni is explaining the glories of bhakti. So here we understand, in this verse it is mentioned, so the Lord is the supreme controller and everything is his energies. And Srila Prabhupada is mentioning in the purport, saying that everything in the is the energy of the Lord. Either it is superior, marginal or inferior. So spiritual, marginal or material energy of the Lord. So so Narad Muni is explaining the glories of being connected with the Lord. So he is saying in this verse, Gopya Kamat Bhayat Kamso Dveshat Shandadroya Nripa Sambandhanad Vrishnaya Snehat Yuyam Bhakta Vayam Vibhu. So he said, this is the glories of bhakti or being connected with the Lord. Even if one connects with the Lord in any way, he becomes purified. So as the gopis by their lusty desires, Kamsa by his fear, Shishupala because of his envy, and Yadus because of their relationship, and Pandavas because of great affection, and general devotees by the process of bhakti. Process of bhakti, they become connected to the Lord, they become purified, and they get the topmost position. So then this pastime begins, where Hiranyakashipu, in the first chapter, it is explained in this way. Narad Muni is explained the glories of bhakti, and then in second chapter, it is explained how Hiranyakashipu speaks philosophy. He consoles after Hiranyaksha is dead. He goes to the wife of Hiranyaksha and family members, mother Kayadu, and he consoles them, speaking philosophy, saying that body is temporary, soul is eternal. And so all this philosophy which we hear, Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, Hiranyakashipu is also mentioning. So he understands all those things, but at the same time, he's saying, because Krishna has killed my brother and taken the side of demigods, I'm going to kill him and I'm going to become the Lord. And so this is not the complete understanding. One can understand philosophy completely, gnana part of the philosophy completely, but again, if he is not a devotee of the Lord, it is mentioned what happens to such a person who is just on the process of jnana, he falls down. Thinking of a verse which Patanti Ado Anadrik Yashmad Angraya. Last, how does sorry? Aruya Krachrena Param Padam Patha Tatha. How does it begin in the first line? Anyad, yeah. Anyad Vimukta Maninas. Vimukta Maninas. Tvayashta Bhavad Avishuddha Buddhaya. So, one who is just on the path of jnana, because he does not have devotion for the lotus feet of the Lord, he does not have that devotional attitude, he patanti adho anadriksh, he will fall down from this position, even though he is at the supreme position of jnana. He understands all philosophy, but because he does not have the devotional heart, devotion, he does not have affection for the lotus feet of the Lord, he will fall down. Ye anyad arvinda vimukta maninas tvayasta bhavat avishuddha. Avishuddha is, intelligence is avishuddha. It is not pure, it is contaminated. So similarly, Hiranyakashipu had all knowledge of scriptures, and we see even Ravana, he had all the scriptural knowledge, but because he did not have affection for the Lord, he fell down, he was killed. So similarly here also, Hiranyakashipu is giving different pastimes. He is quoting Yamraj's story, Sayujya's story, in which Yamraj is then speaking the story of Kalinga birds and how everyone is subject to destruction by the hands of Yamraj. He understands everything, but at the same time he is trying to be immortal. So in the third chapter, he is trying to become immortal and he is doing this austerity to please Lord Brahma. And then he pleases Lord Brahma and he is asking for the list of things that, so that he becomes immortal. So even though he understands this philosophy, but he does not put it into practice. So then as soon as he gets all this power from Lord Brahma, what does he do? He shows his real demoniac nature. And this is the nature of material world or Maya. As long as one is weak, one is humble, but as soon as one gets power, something happens within, and one becomes dominating. And we see in history, there are so many people who have come, and Srimad Bhagavatam speaks about so many kings, so many powerful personalities who just came and went away. There were people like who could control, and here also we see Hiranyakashipu. He controlled the nature, it is mentioned. Everything was under, he performed the task of all the demigods. He controlled the nature to the extent he would ask cows to give milk all the time. He would have the perfect weather. Everything was perfectly done as per his wants and desires. But again it is mentioned, that even though he was controlling everything, in spite of controlling all directions and all kinds of sense gratification, he was dissatisfied due to uncontrolled senses. So if this is an important point to understand, even if everything is under your control, but if your senses are uncontrolled, you will always remain dissatisfied. So very important point from this pastime to be understood, that he was still feeling dissatisfaction. Everything was under his control. And at that point, we see all the, because of the terror, all the demigods go to approach Lord Vishnu, and then Lord Vishnu pacifies them, saying that he will be dealt with. He says, I will make some arrangements. And then Prahlad Maharaj is born. And Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking, and at the end of chapter 4, there is a description of Prahlad Maharaj's glories. At that point, Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking, how come such a saintly son is born to a demoniac father? At which then there is a description of Prahlad Maharaj is explained, and his characteristics are explained, and how Prahlad Maharaj was sent to Gurukul. But again, he was preaching devotional service, he was preaching bhakti, glories of the Lord. And when Hiranyakashipu meets Prahlad Maharaj, he is speaking that it is glories of the Lord. He is speaking pure bhakti. And then Hiranyakashipu becomes angry at him and he chastises Sandhya and Amarka. He is saying that because of you guys, there is some corruption has entered into my kingdom, and you are not doing proper job. So again, they pacified Hiranyakashipu, and again Prahlad Maharaj was sent to Gurukul. But what happens there? Prahlad Maharaj starts to preach to the other students, and in the first verse itself, and this instructions given by Prahlad Maharaj is so interesting. Like, he's a 5-year-old boy, but he's speaking perfect philosophy. He's saying, Kaumaram acharit pragno dharmat bhagavatami durlabha manushya janma tadapi adhruvam arthadam. He's saying, right from the childhood, one should practice devotional life. And there are some very nice instructions are given in this chapter 6 and 7. And he's mentioning, he's giving an example of a silkworm who weaves a cocoon, and his cause of his own destruction. So similarly, a materialistic person, if he is engaged in just materialistic activity, he is just building that cocoon and traps himself inside and is not able to get out of it. And we see in practical world, we create things, we endeavor for things, and then we are trapped into it. It's like a cycle. One cannot come out of it until he realizes that it is too late now. And so right from the beginning, Prahlad Maharaj is instructing, one should engage in the practice of devotional service. It is interesting when in third canto, at the end, Kapil Muni's teachings, he is explaining about a child within a womb. And in that it is mentioned, the child within the womb gets a darshan of the Lord and is praying to the Lord, let me be in this position, let me not take birth, let me be in this position so that I can remember you, I can worship you in this position. He is worried about, as soon as he comes out of the womb, Maya will cover him. So, and this is very similar to the prayers of Sukhdeva Goswami, also prays, I don't want to come into the material world, otherwise Maya will overcome me. So he remained within the womb for 16 years. So, and very similar to the prayers of Kunti Maharani, let the calamities come again and again. So from this prayers we can understand, even if we are in the position which is not materially suitable, which is not materially favorable, we are not enjoying that position, but if that position allows us to serve the Lord, to engage in bhakti, then that is the best position to be in. So one should not try to change that position. So this is another interesting analysis from this section which was given. And then Prahlad Maharaj basically is narrating how he has got this knowledge from parampara. That is, he's establishing the importance of parampara, that Supreme Personality of Godhead gave this knowledge to Narad Muni, and from there he got it. So the boys ask, you have never met Narad Muni, so So how come you got this knowledge from Narad Muni? Because since birth you have been here. And then Prahlad Maharaj explains the pastime of when the demigods captured his mother and then she was taken by Narad Muni. And at that point, Prahlad Maharaj was able to hear from Narad Muni within the womb when Narad Muni was speaking of the transcendental pastimes. So, Prahlad Maharaj then instructs, in this section we hear Prahlad Maharaj instructs the his classmates to engage in the process of devotional service. So one in the womb itself prays, and when he comes out of the womb, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his song explains, that he gets engaged into the worldly affairs. When a child is born, he's surrounded by swajana, and everyone, he becomes the center of attraction, and he thinks this place, even though it was bad within the womb, but it's not bad now, because the child is looked after by all the swajanas, he's given toys, he's able to play with his classmates. So when he grows, he feels this place is not bad, because he becomes the center of attraction. And then as he grows, he wants to acquire more and more things, and he forgets the miseries that he has gone through in his previous life, or in the womb, or as a child. And then he enters into the grastha ashram. There is an interesting paragraph which Karunanidhi Prabhu sent this morning. So he goes through this entire process, and what happens as he approaches his old age? So at 60, the work that he has given his life for rejects him. So at the age of 60, the work rejects him. He has given 30, 40 years to the company, and then at 60 he has to retire. So the work rejects him. At 70, all his friends and associates reject him, because most of them are not able to associate more closely now, or some of them are already gone. So the swajana and all the friends reject him. And at 80, everything is rejected. His body also rejects him. So as one grows older, slowly, slowly, everyone is rejecting this person. And if at that moment, if one is not engaged, if one does not have the practice of performing devotional service, it's very difficult. Many times in India we see, if you ask some old people, and they say, we know Krishna, we know all the philosophy, we know how to chant and everything. We used to do as a kid and things, but we'll do it when we are old. Right now is the age to work hard and make your career and build your portfolio and things like that. And so people say that. But when they grow old, it is very hard for them to even chant the names of the Lord. Even though it is such an easy process, but it is still so difficult to sit and chant, because there is always worries going on, because they have become so much attached to the family members that even while they sit and chant, they cannot even chant one single round of mantra. Just after couple of mantras, they are again thinking about the family, they are again thinking about all the near and dear ones. So it is very difficult for person who has not practiced his whole life to remember the Lord at the time of death, or even before the time of death. So one has to be very careful. So here it is explained that Krishna is the source of everything, and this body is just like a car that is given to a person. So as one does, even though we go in a car, as soon as we reach the destination, we leave the car. We are not always sitting in the car day and night thinking that, no, this is my car. And we are not attached to the car as soon as we reach the destination. So similarly, this body should be used as a vehicle to reach our destination. It should not be that we are always attached to the body and we want to be in this body forever. And to understand that the Lord is the original cause of this material body and the soul. So this is an interesting point again, that Lord is the original cause of the material body and the soul. So all the energies, Lord is the source. aham sarvasva prabhava mata sarvam pravartate, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. So that he is the source of everything, even the marginal energy is his source. So we are part and parcel of the Lord. So this is the point we have to understand. This body is property of the Lord and we are also property of the Lord. So the purpose of a human being or for a soul is to satisfy the Supreme Soul. And in that position one can be happy. Unless one is trying to satisfy aparya mitastva anyam prakriti. How does the second line work? Aparya mitastva anyam jiva bhuta mahabhava aparya mitastva anyam prakriti. Sorry, how does the verse begin? Yedam dharate jagat. So, the living entity who is supposed to be the superior energy of the Lord is trying to exploit the inferior energy and he can never be satisfied in that position. So this material world is just the place where one has to rectify his disease and go back home, back to Godhead. He can never be satisfied living here. There will always be incompatible. It's like a fish out of a water. The fish can never be happy out of water. Similarly, the living entity in this material world can never be satisfied. There will always be whatever level of sense gratification or whatever level of material opulence one has, there will always be something which is missing. And we saw this in the case of Hiranyakashipu. He was controlling the entire universe. All the energies, material energies were under his control. But still, he was dissatisfied because he had uncontrolled senses. So as long as one cannot control the senses, one cannot control his desires, he will never be satisfied in the material world. And so it is explained that one has to understand the Lord. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj advised his class friends, the sons of demons, to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead again. And so again and again, Prahlad Maharaj is giving this instruction to his classmate that you have to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How do we worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead? And Prabhupada gives, like through Shastra, we can understand the Lord. And when we understand the Lord, we can serve the Lord, what Lord wants. Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are the books. Srila Prabhupada makes point that Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all the Vedas. And in that, Krishna says, how can he be served? Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakta prayachati tadam bhakta upharatam ashnami prayatatmana yat karosi yad nasi yad juvasi dadasi yat tapasasi kaunteya tat kurushvam mat arpanam. So Krishna gives the entire philosophy within Bhagavad Gita. And it is interesting, it is pointed out that even on the battle of Kurukshetra, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita on the battle of Kurukshetra. Just to prepare a half an hour class, we have to study for a couple of hours, 2-3 hours. At least we have to go through the content and read the verse and see what points are we can speak on. But Krishna, in the midst of battlefield, he spoke the entire Bhagavad Gita. This is knowledge, which is the essence of the entire Vedas. And so Krishna, and I was reading this article by Venu Gopal. Everyone knows Venu Gopal, Janvi Jeevan and Yamuna Jeevan Prabhu's son. He has wrote an article in GV. It's interesting, he quotes Kardama Muni and how Kardama Muni gives Krishna 6 opulences. He mentions about the fame, wealth, knowledge, beauty, renunciation. So he gives this 6 analysis and he analyzes this. And he mentions, he has written in this, how Lord is how can we understand the renunciation of the Lord? So imagine we create something. We become so attracted or attached to that. It's my car or it's my creation, or if it's my discovery, or it's we patent it and people do all those things just for creating something. And Lord has created the entire universe, and then still Lord says, I have nothing to do with this. So this shows his renunciation. So that was an amazing point. I thought he's the owner, he's the creator of everything. The universe is his creation, but he's completely detached. He says, I have nothing to do with it. I'm independent of it. So we have to understand that we have to take shelter of the Lord. And Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam gives us this process, how we can apply this knowledge, how we can perform devotional service. So one should read these scriptures, one should take guidance from the scriptures, and then one can serve the Lord. I'll stop here if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a nice class. you mentioned how at the start of the chapter, Narada Muni was mentioning about King Vaina, how he was an atheist and the Brahmanas killed him and he went to hell. I just want to understand, what's the difference between King Vaina and Banasura? Because Banasura, he was also a demon and he fought with the Lord, but he got the mercy of the Lord because he was a descendant of Prahlad Maharaj. Whereas King Vaina is also a descendant of Dhruva Maharaj, which is also a Mahabhagavat devotee. And we also often hear that if you get liberation, or if you become Krishna conscious, you know, the Lord gives, I think, 14 or even sometimes 100 generations of your descendant liberation. So how do we understand the destination of Vaina compared to Banasura?
Yeah, comparing Banasura with King Vaina, I'm not sure, to be very frank. Prabhuji?
I'm not sure either, but I think the only explanation I would come up with is that it's part of the Lila of the Lord, pastime. Sorry?
No.
Pastime of the Lord, and that we can't really tell what, I mean, there is definitely statements that in the Bhagavatam and the Vedic literatures that by performance of pure devotional service, generations of our forefathers and future and present and future will be liberated. And that process of liberation is, it's individual, it's just not, it's not like something that is, that has to, that it's a, you know, like a system of compliance or something, but it's something that is actually Krishna will make arrangements for individuals to progress so that they can become liberated, so that they'll get more association, or that they'll be engaged in his service and make progress and advancement, because it's not automatic. It says in the Bhagavatam in the fifth canto that by associating with devotees, yasyasti bhakti bhagavata kinchana, automatically one develops all the qualities, good qualities of the demigods. But that automatic means that the devotees have to do something to automatically develop the qualities of the devotees. It's not that we come in association with the devotees and we don't have to do anything to become automatically purified and advanced in bhakti. Last night we were reading a conversation with Śrīla Prabhupāda and a Jesuit priest here in Melbourne.
Thank you.
And he said that, the Jesuit priest said that he was asking Prabhupada different interesting questions about God, and does God have a form, and do you teach your, he asked, do you teach your students how to pray, to contemplate on high level? And then that Prabhupada used that to go into a whole explanation of the nine processes of bhakti. And he went through Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, and he stopped at Vandanam and said, prayer is there, but there's nine processes of bhakti. And he said, yeah, but the priest was saying, yeah, but what about the, you know, higher levels? How do, you know, do they get into some mystical kind of higher levels of trance or meditation? You know, in our Christian mysticism and in other mystic processes, they have processes for going higher and deeper. And Prabhupada said, no, that's inactivity. That's inactive. But in bhakti is always activity. There's always action in devotional service. So he said, Shravanam is an activity. Kirtanam is an activity. And he went, Smaranam is an activity. And he said, all of the nine processes of bhakti are activities. So there's something that we do to qualify ourselves to become liberated. So that's all I can think of, is that we, the, in terms of a comparison or in terms of progressing and going back to Godhead or having experiencing some form of liberation, is that there's also a qualification for that. There's also the automatic sense of it is that there's an arrangement made by the Lord, by the material energy, to progress and to engage in some action, some activity of bhakti to become liberated, to go back to Godhead.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you for the nice class. Prabhuji, you were telling us how Sukadeva Goswami Maharaj prayed and Kunti Maharani prayed, and we're always encouraged to recite these prayers. And we see how Kunti Maharani, she states in her prayers that may the calamities come to me again and again. But Prabhu, like, we don't want miseries again and again. What I mean is, like, we're not so strong to handle like Kunti Maharani. So what can we do so that we make sure that we are careful in reciting these prayers? Because when we will recite these prayers, Krishna will listen to these prayers and then he'll give us miseries.
Yeah, interesting point. So of course we don't want miseries, but at the same time, the reason we should read these prayers is because we can understand the mood of these devotees. We don't fast on Ekadashi and other days so that we can eat opulent pizza, Ekadashi pizza. So similarly, we don't pray in the mood of, or we don't pray for calamities, but we have to understand what is the mood behind it. That mood was to be with the Lord. So similarly, we should understand, take that part more. Even though we are praying, the prayers should be how we can be with the Lord. And that is why I mentioned when Kapila Muni is explaining that prayers of the child within the womb, he's saying the situation, even though it is like crammed up situation, the bacteria and insects are biting and is an acidic fluid, but still he's saying, let me be in this situation because I can see you, I can remember you at this point. So similarly, in whatever situation we are, even though it is not a favorable situation, but if we can remember the Lord, we can perform devotional service in that position, then that is more suitable position than changing our, we should not try to endeavor to change our position. So this is what that prayer means. It's not that let me be the most miserable person on this planet. Because the two things, if you are too happy or too miserable, you cannot remember the Lord. So we have to be in between or try to endeavor to be in a position where which is best suited for devotional practice. That's all.
Thank you.
Any other comments, corrections? Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you for coming.